So when things don't happen on our time, we wonder why. When we're told something's going to happen, we expect it to happen immediately. That's not always the case. Sometimes there's a wait. So I'm going to be sharing from Acts. We're pretty much going to go through a pretty significant portion of it, about four chapters, but we're going to look at the end of Acts chapter 23. A specific verse I'd like to focus on is the last verse in that chapter, verse 11. So to give you some background on what's going on, Paul has made it to Jerusalem, and he has pretty much made himself clean by Jewish standards. He's done a ritual to kind of purify himself. So he is clean to go into the temple. He is not desecrating the temple, even by Jewish standards. But when he goes into the temple, there is a large uproar, and he is arrested by the Romans because it is their job to keep peace. However, he is a Roman citizen, so they're not supposed to put him in prison. They actually go a little farther than they're supposed to. They put him in chains and everything. They think he's a terrorist, but then he says that he's a Roman citizen, so they kind of backtrack. They release him a little bit and give him a little bit more freedom. And then Paul makes his defense in front of the Sanhedrin, which are the Jewish leaders, and the high priest at this time, his name is Ananias, and he is very hot-tempered. There's actually other documentation showing that he was not a very effective high priest. So he actually tells someone to attack Paul during Paul's defense, and Paul gets very upset about it because Ananias is claiming to be the high priest, but he's not following the Jewish customs. So that causes another uproar. So they have to suspend the trial for a little bit. And so Paul is separated from the Sanhedrin now. He's still under Roman captivity. And then this is chapter 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." So here Paul is in custody in Jerusalem, and God is telling him that he is somehow going to get to Rome and preach. So Paul knows that this is going to happen. But the Jews come up with a plot to kill Paul. So Paul's nephew finds out about it and tells the Romans, and the Romans decide to move him to Caesarea, which is the political center of the region. Jerusalem was like the religious center for the Jews, but the Romans did all their business in Caesarea. So the governor of Caesarea is Felix, so they're going to put him on trial to Felix. So they send him under Roman protection to Felix, and then they send a message to Ananias: if you want to make your case against Paul, you need to go to Caesarea. So they do, and then there's kind of another trial, and once again, an uproar is caused. And Felix pretty much tries to get out of making a decision. He's like, oh, when this man gets here, I'll make my decision. Felix was pretty corrupt, and he was looking for a bribe from Paul because he could tell that Paul had a lot of people who supported him. So he was hoping that someone would bribe him to get Paul out of prison, because Felix could tell that Paul didn't belong in prison, and he definitely didn't deserve death, which the Jewish people were trying to, they were trying to get the Romans to put Paul to death. So Felix holds Paul for 2 years in captivity, but refusing to put him on trial. So Paul has been promised by God to get to Rome. However, for 2 years, he's stuck in Caesarea. So we waited for 2 minutes, and it was uncomfortable. Paul had to wait for 2 years without any progress on a place he was told he needed to go. So you can expect that Paul was probably getting pretty sick of this. He can't be set free until he gets put on trial. And Felix isn't putting him on trial. So the person who is deciding his earthly fate is refusing to move forward in any way. And so he's essentially stuck. Paul pays attention to God, and he keeps the faith. And because of that, we're going to see what Paul is able to do. So finally, Paul uses the time to try to speak to Felix, but Felix kind of pushes him away because he has had an adulterous relationship. He took another man's wife to be his own. So he realizes what behavior he should have been having through Paul, and he realizes he hasn't done it, and instead, unfortunately, of repenting from it, he decides to try to keep Paul at a distance eventually. So Felix is demoted, and then Festus takes over. Festus still has some bad qualities, unfortunately, but he is more regimented when it comes to putting people on trial. So Festus arrives, and he sees that Felix has kept this man without a trial, which was not okay. So Festus immediately puts him on trial, and once again, Ananias comes back with a speaker to try to make a case against Paul. And Festus is not very well acquainted with Jewish customs, so then there's an argument, and Festus is like, whoa, what's going on? I don't really understand why this is happening. And Paul, so this is chapter 25, this is verse 10, and or verse 9. So the some background is the Jewish people are requesting that Paul go to Jerusalem, and Festus would like to do that as a favor to the Jews to kind of keep him on his good side. That's kind of one of his flaws. He wants to do favors for the Jews to keep them on his to keep him on their good side. Unfortunately, the Jews have come up with another plot to kill Paul on the way to Jerusalem, and so we can kind of see God's hand at work here. So Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges?" Paul answered, "I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have done nothing wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." When he appeals to Caesar, it doesn't mean he's going to get tried by Caesar the emperor. It just means he's going to be tried by the highest courts in Rome, which would be located in Rome. So Paul has waited 2 years and finally gets the opportunity to send himself to Rome. However, usually when we think of an opportunity, a lot of times it gets referred to as an open door. Open doors are pretty obvious, and they're pretty easy to walk through. You just have to go through it, and it doesn't really take any action on your part besides the fact of walking through it. This is not the case for Paul's open door. Paul has to recognize the opportunity that he has to appeal to Caesar in court so he can be taken to Rome. However, all these accusations made against Paul are false. Paul is pretty much submitting himself to another court and more imprisonment, even though he could get free now because he can prove the Jews wrong. He is submitting himself to the boat ride to Rome and to Roman imprisonment to guarantee what, so that he can make what God asked of him happen. He knows he needs to get to Rome, and he sees that he's going to get to Rome. He just has to submit to being a Roman prisoner. So he knows that this is God's plan, and he goes along with it. And we'll see that he reaps rewards based on his willingness to go along with God's plan. So Festus, not knowing much about Jewish customs at all. He barely understands the case. He consults King Agrippa, who's actually Herod Agrippa II, who's the son of Herod Agrippa I, who's the son of Herod the Great, who was the one who persecuted and killed all the Jewish babies when Jesus was born. So this man has a lot of history with the Jews. He is king over the whole area, so including Jerusalem, so he knows what more about the Jewish customs. So Festus calls in Agrippa for help because he doesn't want to send Paul to the highest courts of the area without telling him what's going on, and he can't really tell anybody what's going on right now. So King Agrippa comes in and begins talking, and while Paul is talking to King Agrippa in front of many people, because since he's a king, he has a large audience, Paul actually tries to bring the gospel to King Agrippa and convert him in front of the entire court of Caesarea. Unfortunately, King Agrippa brushes it off. He actually kind of jokes about it. This is chapter 26, verse 28. It says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?' Paul replied, 'Short time or long, I pray that God not only that I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains.' The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice, who was King Agrippa's wife, and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, 'This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment.' Agrippa said to Festus, 'This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.'" So we can further see that Paul knows he could be free, but he chose to follow God's plan to get to Rome, even if it meant Roman imprisonment. Paul is using every opportunity Paul gives him to reach the people with the gospel. Paul is blessed with the opportunity to meet the highest ranking person in the area, so he tries to reach them with the gospel. Unfortunately, it's brushed off, but Paul still leaves them with the message that he hopes that everyone in the area will reach the gospel, will accept the gospel. And then, so now Paul has to sail for Rome so he can get to Rome as God wants him to. However, it's October, and they didn't have compasses on boats to tell them the direction, so sailors always used the stars. But it was after, what did they call it? It was after a certain period of time when the stars were easy to read. Beginning in September, the stars were harder to read, and by November, they were impossible to read. So it's October, and they need to get to Rome before November. So they're in a port called Fair Havens, but it's not, what they would have to do is they couldn't sail, obviously, throughout November and January. They would have to wait 3 months, and they called it wintering the boat. And Fair Havens was not a good port to winter in. They wanted to make it to Crete instead. Paul warned them against this because he said that they were going to have a dangerous journey, but the Romans decided they would push forward instead. They get stuck in a storm. It actually tosses the boat for 14 days, and then they are going to try to lower the life raft and just try to make it out of the storm, and Paul tells them that they will die if they do that. So they listen, they pull the lifeboat back in, and then they try to run the entire ship ashore. They do on the island of Malta, which none of them are very familiar with. They need to talk to the islanders about that. The Romans actually want to kill all of the prisoners on the boat because they are afraid that once they get on the island, they will use their freedom being on the island to escape. However, Paul has reached the Roman centurion by this point in time, and the centurion himself blocks his own countrymen's attempt on the life of Paul and the rest of the prisoners. While on the island of Malta, Paul is actually bit on the hand by a poisonous snake. And so all of the islanders see this, and they expect him to die because they've seen it happen before, and the people who got bit died. However, Paul does not, because he is under God's protection. Paul is following through on God's plan, and God is not going to allow that plan to get derailed. So God saves Paul, and all of the islanders see this and recognize the power that's within Paul. So the chief of the island takes Paul to his father, who is suffering from dysentery, and Paul is able to call forth healing from God upon this man. So the islanders start bringing all of their sick to Paul. So suddenly Paul is reaching the entire village. People are coming to him because he's following God's plan. If Paul had bailed out of the plan when he could have, after he was put in trial on Festus, this island might not have received the word of God. They're secluded. Nobody from the Romans knew which island they were on. They were unfamiliar with it. Because Paul is following God's plan and following God's timing, he is able to reach an entire island that might have been secluded from the word of God. And then, so they have to spend 3 months, they have to spend the entire winter on the island, and then finally they reach Rome. And because Paul has had such good behavior, they actually let Paul essentially have house arrest, which is just one guard. And then Paul is able to write his letters. They call them the prison epistles, like Philippians. He's able to write these and continue reaching the churches he has started because of his good behavior. So Paul has waited minimum 2 years and 3 months without getting to Rome. And he finally makes it to Rome, where he's able to reach the people in the churches he started. But because Paul went with God's timing, which wasn't necessarily Paul's ideal timing. When Paul has been constantly journeying up to this point and reaching people. So Paul's timing would have been like, okay, you want me to go to Rome? Let's go to Rome now. But he has to wait in Caesarea for 2 years, trying to minister to Felix, and he has to get put on trial. He has to survive a shipwreck, murder plots, getting bitten on the hand by a poisonous snake. But he's able to bring the gospel to the highest courts of the region and to an entire island that was secluded from the word of God. So because Paul followed God's timing and not his own, blessings were multiplied for everybody. And yes, it resulted in Paul receiving some bodily damage and definitely his patience being tried, but he knew that God's timing was better than his own, and he followed it. So, we are not a patient culture. Think about the last time you drove. If someone was going too fast and getting too close to your car, or going too slow and they were preventing you from getting to where you wanted to go on time, it probably made you pretty frustrated. I work part-time at Panera, and we're supposed to get everyone's food within 3 minutes. If we're busy, like we were yesterday, and it was taking us 10 minutes, you can bet that people were not happy with me. People in general don't like to go on someone else's time. If they have a plan, they want it to happen on their time. And if you're getting in the way, they're not happy with you, are they? So there were many people getting in the way of God's plan, and it was much more than a 5-minute delay on the road or a 7-minute delay getting your food. It was a 2-year delay of people refusing to let him move on. But Paul stuck with it, and he was blessed because of it, and others were blessed because of it. So I always like, as the youth know, which none of them are here, but I always like to end my lessons on a message. Or not on a message, of course I'm doing the message now. I always like to end my lessons on a challenge. So my challenge today is to respect God's timing. And if you can see that maybe there's a roadblock in the way, maybe you need to be patient and let the roadblock pass so that God can work in his time, and you might need to let your timing go by the wayside. Thank you for letting me speak before you today. I'd like to end in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we were able to read lessons from the life of your servant Paul. I pray that you would help us apply them to our lives, and that we would be wiser for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.